as a follow-on, really, from Easter. You know, it's interesting. We have the Old Covenant. I find in lots of churches, you know, lots of people, they're still in the Old Testament. A lot of churches are in the Old Testament, and they live in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, we have a book that was written for the Jews to explain how the New Covenant is better than the Old Covenant. Now, we still learn from the Old Testament, and we still read and study and preach from the Old Testament. But it's very important for the Christian church not to confuse the Old Testament with the New Testament. And I find that very often people do. So they're out of touch with the truth of the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is the powerful covenant. And so it's very important for us not to do that. It's very important for us to be accurate. The New Testament charges preachers that they must be accurate, and it says be very careful, because you'll be judged as a preacher in a stricter way than anyone else. So it's very important that we are clearly within the New Covenant. Now, in the Old Covenant, it was a system that was for a people, the Jewish people, and that system was really a system that was limited to the Jewish people. It was a sacrificial system. It was an animal sacrifice system that came through the law, and Jesus initiated another sacrifice system, his own sacrifice being that system. And so thereafter, there were no more sacrifices. Now, it's very interesting when you study history that the book of Hebrews was written around about 66 AD. And the book of Hebrews talks of this new covenant, and it talks about the new covenant, and it says the old is passing away. Well, guess what happened in 70 AD? The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and that meant the end of the sacrificial system. No more sacrifices after that. There was no temple to have the sacrifices in. It's a remarkable thing that happened. So it's interesting, isn't it, when you look at the history of the world, and you can see in the history of the world the history of the church manifest. I think it's fascinating, because what it does is it tells us that the words of Scripture are proved by historical truth. I mean, it's a phenomenal testimony to the New Testament. And so we enter then into the book of Hebrews with great interest, because we know that the weight of the words included in that book have great impact into our lives. They ought to influence us tremendously. But like anything, it depends how much you take them on board. You know, it was interesting. I like to think of that lady in America, Rosa Parks, who was, as a black lady, told that she should sit at the back of the bus. Back of the bus for you, whites at the front. Well, Rosa Parks thought, hold on. It says in the Constitution of the United States that all men are born equal under God. So one day she decided, I'm not sitting in the back of the bus. I'll sit where I like, thank you very much, because all men are equal under God according to the Constitution of the United States of America. What she did was she put weight in the Constitution, and that initiated the civil rights movement. And that initiated a change in America. But isn't it interesting? It took one woman to make a decision to act on what was written. And that changed everything. One woman made a decision to act on what is written, and that changed everything. Well, it's exactly the same with the Scriptures. Exactly the same, my friends. I meet people, they say, oh, the Scriptures, oh, you know, I mean, oh, it's this, it's this. Well, guess what? When I started to put emphasis on the scriptures, certain parts of the scripture, I found, in fact, those parts that I emphasized, that I took on board, started to happen in my life. When I started, after I was first a cynical theological student, filled with cynicism and puffed up with my own knowledge, thinking I was so clever and I was just, you know. And after that period, when I then encountered the depression of my life and I came into a place of humility before God, and I said, you know what, I'm going to now read the Bible not as someone puffed up, but as someone who needs God for help. And then I found that the scriptures that talked of healing, for example, manifested in my life. And I found that the scriptures that talked about hope and love and all those other good things started to manifest in my life. Jesus said it like this: if you can believe, then you can receive. The question is, can you believe? Will you put trust and faith in what's being said? So the challenge for us today is to put trust and faith into what's being said, and then we'll receive from that thing. Are you with me so far this morning, everyone? Well, we've got about three people with me. Are you with me this morning so far? Yes. Am I making sense so far? Yes. You know, give me some encouragement here, please. I'm begging you. Let's go into the Word of God. Let's read now from the Word then with that level of anticipation and emphasis, knowing that we can receive from this Word. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Now, this is written. It talks about Israel before this, talks about Judah before this, and now this is talking about Israel. And when it's talking about Israel, it's not talking about geographical Israel. It's not talking about the a limited group of ethnic people. It's talking about the Israel of God. It's the fully inclusive Israel that he's referring to here. He's saying, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, Hebrews 8 verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Talking about the new covenant initiated by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The old covenant did this temporarily. Every year the high priest would have to go in, make the big sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, and it was a constant thing that had to happen. This was for all people, not a limited group of people, but for all people who could believe in Jesus. The qualification is belief in Jesus. If you can believe in him, this can apply to you. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. My friends, you know, sometimes we're very good at remembering our own lawless deeds or other people's lawless deeds. Oh, you know her. I'll just tell you. She was, you never see anything like it. Oh, him. Oh, what a temper. Going to church, I should see him. Oh, he said, what a temper. Have I told you about what? We're good at remembering, you know. And I remember as well, we remember ourselves. I mean, you know, I went to Wales recently. And, you know, every time I go to Wales, it's a little traumatic for me. It's the place where I grew up. There's a few things I could say, such as, you know, the memories of pushing my grandmother's car from the... I was such a naughty boy. Could you picture? You couldn't picture, could you? So naughty. I was pushing my grandmother's car. I would sneak into my grandmother's car at night. This is as a teenager. And I would put it into neutral. I would push it off the drive. Push it onto the road. Then I'd only start the engine up and drive it, take it for a drive. I can't imagine I was such a naughty boy. I was such a naughty boy. The things I did, most of the things I can't speak about. But I look back at myself and I think, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. You know? And even we went to the, they have a market there, you know, one of those car boot markets. So on the Saturday morning, we're walking on the car boot market, and I saw a face from the distant past, and I remembered an incident. And I thought, oh, no. I mean, I'm talking about things when I was a teenager, and I just, but you know, your past is there. But how good is it when we believe in God, that now we start again. And all that we might have done, good or bad, is washed clean because he loves us so much. You see, we live in a world that really doesn't talk about love very much. There's not much love in the world. But in the church of the Lord Jesus, in the real church, in the real gospel, it's all about love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And you're so precious to him. And he looks as a father from heaven and he sees his precious child. You are so precious. Look, you may not have been told it this week. Perhaps no one's told you. But I want to tell you, you're precious and you're lovely. And God loves you so much. Take those words, record them. If you've got a phone, record it. Play it to yourself throughout the day. Because it's the truth. And sometimes we forget to hear those words about ourselves because we remember the bad things that we do. Well, we all, you know, what's sin? Sin is missing the mark. Well, who misses the mark in life? Okay, miss the mark. God's perfect mark. Well, we all miss the mark. The good news is that God isn't penalizing us when we miss the mark. If we have put our faith in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. So we don't need to feel guilty and go around in condemnation and, burdened by our own sin or the memories of our sin. We can go through life happy, liberated by the gospel of Jesus. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be in bondage to that. And you know, the beautiful thing is, when we're no longer in bondage to the memories of it, it loses its power over us. There may be a sin in your life. There may be something that you're particularly, an area where you're weak in, let's say. An area where you keep missing the mark in. Well, you know what? When you stop condemning yourself and living in condemnation and guilt, what happens is that area loses power over you. When you start to thank God for his forgiveness, for the liberty you have in Jesus, for the truth of the scripture that we've just read, that thing which has you in bondage loses its grip. So instead of focusing on that area, focus on this area, the truth of this New Testament scripture. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Praise God. People may look at you and remember what you were like in the past. But when God looks at you through the new covenant, he doesn't look at you that way. He says, I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Praise be to God. You know, he says that when you come to me and you think about your sins, don't think that every time I'm looking at you, I'm thinking of your sins and the way you've messed up and what you've done wrong. I'm not looking at you like that, he says. No, I'm not remembering those sins. He's not remembering it because there was a time when he remembered them. He's not remembering them now, but he did remember them. He foresaw them on that occasion when Jesus went to the cross. Because when Jesus went to the cross, it was that day when God saw all of our sins laid on him as he was crucified there on the cross. Everything you've ever done wrong, every sin you ever had in this mysterious event, the crucifixion, all of the sins were laid onto Jesus, the Lamb of God. Isn't it something? Isn't it just wonderful? And when we believe, really, truly believe in that, rather than the old covenant and the law, we start to live in liberty. Because this is the most liberating truth that was ever given. Christians are meant to be happy people, you know, full of joy and happiness, thankfulness, singing, a little bit of dancing going on as well, just because they're free and just liberated. Well, how can you be like that if you're carrying all the burden of your sin? You can't dance if you're carrying that heavy burden, my friends. You know, Pilgrim's Progress talked about that man, Pilgrim, with the burden on his back. But it didn't stay there, did it? I find that many Christians are walking with a burden on their back. And God is saying, let it go. Let that burden go. And you let it go when you realize that Jesus took it. It's there. He took it on the cross. You see, when we realize that, then we start to live as we are meant to live, in the liberty of the true Christian faith. That's faith manifesting. No longer being tied down or weighed down by our sins and our guilt, but being set free to live in joy and happiness and thankfulness. And there's a lightness about you. And when people meet you, they meet someone with a smile on their face, and they're saying, every time I meet him, I don't know, every time I meet people out there, they're always down and gloomy and weighed down. Every time I meet those Christian people, I don't know, they just seem, there's a lightness about them. There's a lightness in the spirit. They're happy people. Why are they happy? Well, it's the reality of what happened on the cross. Yes, that's right. It's that reality hitting home, impacting our lives, day-to-day lives. So it should be very easy then, you know, to come in to church or go into your room or go into the car or wherever it is and just start to worship and thank him. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful to you. So happy in Jesus for what he's done. And being a person like that, we have a buoyancy in life. And people are attracted to that. People like that. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yes, God remembered our sins, all right. But that was then. And now he doesn't remember them. Glory to his name. Amen. Are we still to confess our sins? Well, confession of sins is good, the Bible says. So we confess our sins, yes, one to another, and confess our sins to God. And there's power in that. No question, there's power in it. But what we don't do is we don't stay there. We don't languish in that. We confess, and then we thank God for the truth of his gospel. And that takes us to new places in Jesus, wonderful Savior that he is. You know, I would say that one of the things that we have to do as a church is encourage ourselves in, I would say, five key areas. I'll just share them very briefly with you. Read the Bible daily. I believe that the church desperately needs truth. Truth comes from the Word of God. So reading the Bible daily, studying the Bible daily, and causing the Bible truth to manifest into our minds helps this reality manifest, helps us to be joyful and happy in him. Jesus said, you should know the truth, and what happens? The truth sets you free. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so, but knowing that truth, there's power in knowing that truth. Rosa Parks had to know the truth of the law of the land before she could act on it. Christians need to know the truth of the Holy Scriptures before they can act on it. So studying the truth is very important. That's number one. Number two is to pray daily. Prayer really is just an overflow of the relationship that we have with the Lord. Once this truth is a reality, we just want to pray. Prayer isn't then a religious duty. It's not something that we must do at a set time. We pray continuously because we're continuously in fellowship with him. So prayer should be there. The other thing, there should be worship daily. I don't know about you, but I just love to worship. Oh, I just want to worship him and thank him. The other thing I would say is that there should be a tithe. You know, people talk about tithing sometimes and they say, oh, tithing is an Old Testament thing. Well, it's not really. Jesus said you should have kept the tithe and not let the other undone. So we have evidence of the tithe there. Also in Hebrews, later on, it says that in this world, the priests received the tithe. I would say, though, that that was referring to the Old Testament tithe, in fairness. But certainly the New Testament church in the book of Acts, there was radical giving there. The tithe, I think, is important. Tithe just means a tenth. But I find that what you give to, and certainly for a lot of people, I remember when I first found out about tithing, I thought, dear me, they must be joking, surely. I mean, 10%? Dear me. I just thought that was just way out. But you know, what I've realized is that 9/10 with God is better than 10/10 without. That's the truth. It really is the truth. And Micah has tremendous testimony. Some of you have heard her testimonies when she was a missionary. She was the one that was tithing, and she was living below the poverty line, and people who had good support were coming to her at the end of the month asking for a loan of a few dollars because they'd run out and she hadn't, but she was the tither. And for our lives, it's been miraculous, really. So I just encourage you to do that. There's a strong thing called mammon, and mammon has a very strong power. In fact, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And you know, as a church, we like to be generous. We want to do things. We want to help the community. We want to have special guests through. And when they come through, we believe that we ought to be very generous to them. And we believe in being generous. But that generosity starts with people who tithe. And we really believe in tithing. We don't tell people how much we've given to the various causes and the various things. But I think if people knew, they'd be very surprised. So I just offer that to you this morning. The other thing is fellowship. Weekly fellowship is the fifth component, I believe. I think that the fellowship that we have one with another is vital, really. You know, it's so easy for us to be isolated from one another, and it's so easy for church to be a place that we just sort of, we come to and we dip out of, but really it should be a place of establishing quality relationships and really being there for one another. And that fellowship is vital, I believe. And you know, I'm happy to say that this church, when the visitors have come to the church, when people tell me about the church, they say, it's a loving church. People are friendly. So I just want to give the church an applause for that. Thank you for that love and that friendliness. This is really important. But you know, we should make sure that we don't take it for granted. And some of us, maybe there's loneliness, there's difficulties. Let's share things with one another and let's be involved in fellowship. The small groups that we're going to be talking about this evening will speak more about that. We'll go into more detail this evening. So if you're interested in those small groups, please come this evening. Amen. Let's close it there for this morning. And let's pray. I just